Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this evening is the 85th Psalm. You showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, O God our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints. But let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, Kim likes to watch a lot of HGTV, the Home and Garden Network. That station has all sorts of shows about buying and selling houses, or taking an old beat-up house and fixing it up and flipping it and selling it for a profit. Or they have shows about restoring and repurposing old pieces of furniture and the like. It's interesting to watch old, beat-up, worn-down, maybe broken things get fixed up and used again, to be restored to its former glory, or maybe made better than ever. And that kind of reminds me of what the Lord does with each and every one of us. Now, we don't know exactly why this psalm was written, for what purpose it was used, or the original reason why they used it, or how they used it. But many people see references in this psalm to when the Israelites returned to Jerusalem from exile. The people of Israel had rejected God. They had gone after false gods. They had worshipped them and offered sacrifices to them. And so God, in his fierce anger and his wrath, he turned aside from them and he allowed enemies to come and destroy their land. Eventually, Judah, the southern kingdom, was completely destroyed, including Jerusalem and the temple and the city walls, everything completely destroyed and burned. About 50 years later, after the destruction of Jerusalem, God forgave the sins of his people. He covered over their offenses, and he set aside his wrath, turning from his fierce anger, and led a remnant of his children back to the promised land. He looked with favor on that land once again and restored the fortunes of his people. And so the psalmist praised God that he did not hold their sins against them. In the past, he looked back and saw how gracious God was. No, they were sinners who deserved God's wrath and punishment, and God punished them in the past, but now in his grace he had forgiven them. They knew and believed that God was a gracious God who covers over their sins and releases them from their condemnation. He had, in the past, forgiven them and brought them back from exile. Our sinful nature likes to downplay sin, to pass it off as if it's no big deal. Our sinful nature says, you know what, we sin every day. We know we sin every day. But so does everyone else. So it doesn't really matter what we do or what we don't do. It's not as if God hates us any more than anybody else. But we've talked recently about the seriousness of sin, how God condemns each and every sin. God, the devil, tried to convince the Israelites that God did not care about their sin. The devil tried to get them to downplay that sin, pass it off, it was no big deal, as if they rejected him and gone after false gods. But then, God, in his wrath and anger, in his just wrath and anger, sent them into exile and destroyed their city. This psalm recognizes the problem with sin. God is a consuming fire who not only burns up sin, but also sinners. And yet then this psalm shows us God's grace. Despite his intense hatred for sin, he freely and fully forgives us. Listen to verses 2 and 3 again. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their offenses. You set aside your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. God has every right to have wrath, fierce anger upon us because of all our sins, but he doesn't. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. But by a gift of his grace, he turns aside from his wrath. That love led God to forgive the sins of his people and bring them back to the promised land. It is that same love that led God to promise a descendant, to send that descendant of Abraham, his own son, Jesus. It led Jesus to take our sins upon himself and suffer our eternal consequences, our eternal condemnation for our sins. Because of Christ, we stand as pure and innocent in the eyes of God. Christ reconciles us back to God. He restores us to a right relationship with our Father. Adam and Eve were created perfect, created in the image of God. But we lost that image in the fall into sin. Christ removes our guilt. He removes our sins. He gives us his holy life and restores us to a right relationship with God as he restores God's image in us. Because of Christ, we are considered pure and innocent, God's own children. Those Israelites who had returned from exile knew that God had forgiven them. They knew that God was with them. But not everything was going well for those Israelites. No, their enemies, as we read in our first lesson for this evening, their enemies had tried to stop them from rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the city walls. They also planted a lot of seed. But because of a drought, because of a famine, not much of it grew up. They knew they were forgiven. They knew God was with them. And yet, they longed for a better time. They anticipated something better, something far greater. They wanted even more of God's grace. So at the same time as they thank God for his forgiveness in the past, they long for even more of his grace in the future. The psalmist then offers up a prayer for God's grace. Restore us again, O God our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. We too know that we're forgiven. We know that Christ came down to pay for our sins, that he suffered and died on the cross, and forgave all our guilt. And yet, we also know that we're still sinners. We are part of the church militant, constantly fighting that battle against our sinful nature, and many times losing that battle against our sinful nature. We're still filled with guilt over our sins, sorrow over what we've done. We still face the effects of sin, like sicknesses and disease and pain and sorrow. Death. First, the death of our loved ones, and then our own death. So yes, while we rejoice in the forgiveness we have, we long for something else. We look for and anticipate something greater. Just like the Israelites. Now for the Israelites, they looked for future forgiveness. They looked for the fulfillment of Abraham's descendant. The seed of Eve, the one who would crush Satan's head, the one through whom all nations would be blessed. For us today, we know that 2,000 years ago, Christ fulfilled that promise. And we thank the Lord and we celebrate His coming in just a few short weeks. But again, we long for something else. We long for something even greater than Christ's first coming. During the season of Advent, we don't just focus on Christ coming as a babe born in Bethlehem, but we also look to the future, to Christ's second coming, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At that time, He will raise our bodies to be perfect, to be glorious, just as He is. And then, body and soul together, perfect and holy, glorious, we will live with Him in heaven forever. There in heaven, we will enjoy an eternal life without sin and all the effects of sin. The Israelites, they looked for something greater, and they knew because God promised it, it would be fulfilled. Look at all the things that God promises to His people in our final section of our psalm, verses 8 and following. He promises peace, salvation, glory, love, faithfulness, righteousness, and what is good. How gracious and amazing is our God that they would ask for something even greater and He would promise them something greater. He would promise them peace. Sure, they wanted peace from their enemies, that they would be free to rebuild their city. And God gave them that peace. There is a greater peace that God was promising. The peace of forgiveness. The peace of mind knowing that because of Christ, our sins do not count against us. That because of Christ, our sins will not come back to condemn us. But when we die, we will go to heaven instead of where we deserve. They knew that salvation was near. For them who believed in the promised Savior, salvation was at hand. Because of that promised Savior, they will be saved from all their spiritual enemies. The love of God would smile upon them, and He would consider them righteous in His own eyes. They longed for something better. And God answered that prayer over 500 years later, by sending His own Son, Jesus Christ. The coming of the Messiah, the birth of Jesus, the world's Savior. He would scorn the shame of the cross in our place, rise from the dead to give eternal life. He brought them and the entire world peace, salvation, and glory. Has Christ completed our salvation already? Yes. It is finished, He said on the cross. But it's not fully realized this side of heaven, and it's not seen by all believers until Judgment Day. So again, during the season of Advent, we not only anticipate and praise God for sending His Son, Jesus, to this earth, but we long for and pray for Christ's coming again. His coming to take us home. to be with Him in heaven forever. Then we will completely realize and understand all that He has done in the freedom from our sin. Christ restored us to a right relationship with God. He restored us in God's image. It's not fully realized yet. We know that as God answered the psalmist's prayer by sending Christ, so He will answer our prayer by sending His Son again. And then He will restore us completely. Like taking the old, worn out, broken down, useless piece of furniture and making it new, making it better. That's what God does with us. He takes us, tainted sinners, old, worn down, useless, and restores us in His image. He makes us better. He unites soul and body in perfection in His glory. So that on the last day, we will dwell with Him forever. Better than we've ever been, just as God intended us to be. Yes, the Lord restores us. Body and soul in perfect unity for eternity. So today, we thank God for sending the gift of His Son 2,000 years ago to Bethlehem. And we also pray for His coming again so that we can see all the effects of His work and be fully restored for eternity. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.